Hello, lovers of the macabre. I'm Alma.
And I'm Lauren.
And this is
Morbid Possessions.
So,
Merry Christmas, yeah, guys.
First of all, Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. If you don't celebrate Christmas, maybe you celebrate Yule or Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. There's another
one. Or the many other holidays that exist.
There's so many.
So this has been a very, very long week for us. We had to cancel our episode last week due to just everything we have going on in our lives right now, the holidays. I had finals. Just so many things going on right now. But we're back, and we brought you guys a little treat, and that's why we're dropping this episode on Christmas. And it's going to be a killer Christmas.
Ew, I hate you. Oh my gosh, I think I hate that more than your Talladega Nights.
I like the baby version the best.
That is her impersonation of a Southern person.
A Southern person talking about sweet baby Jesus. Alright, so this week we're coming to you guys. We have a very interesting story to share with you guys. Drum roll. Bruce MacArthur.
Killer Santa.
Yeah, so this guy is one, we say this like every episode, but he's one twisted person. Brucey. Bruce MacArthur was born on...
Oh, wait, hold up.
Oh.
I gotta crack open a cold one for Jesus's birthday.
Happy birthday, Jesus. I love you. God. I love you, baby Jesus.
Hold on, I'm spilling in my closet.
It's really hot in here now. I think it's because I'm wearing a long sleeve with a huge sweater over.
She's
it.
Also wearing Halloween pajamas?
I'm wearing Halloween pajamas right now.
It's fine.
I wear Halloween pajamas, like, all the time.
I've been wearing this for probably 24 hours straight, because...
Me too. I have not left my house. I did shower, though, but I just got back into my Halloween pajamas.
Same. I've been laying around the house for a day.
We've been watching The L Word all day, which I love so much, and I'm glad that they didn't ruin that. It's great. But anyways... So, Bruce MacArthur was born on October 8th, 1951, in Lindsay, Ontario, Canada.
Not California.
Not California for once. I honestly did not know that there were serial killers in Canada. It's just such a friendly state.
Like, state?
It's such a friendly country. Jeez. I went over there last year. For a couple of days.
It's the Grammys all over.
I'm pretty delusional, as always. So he's from Canada, which is very odd. And I think being from where he was as well, they didn't really look into a lot of it, being that they didn't suspect that someone could do such a heinous act in such a friendly area. He was raised in the farm life. He had one sister, and their parents fostered other children. They would foster 6 to 10 children at a time. Growing up, he was known as a teacher's pet, and he was known as a tattletale by all the other kids that he went to school with. He really enjoyed singing, and it's said that he would win singing contests. His parents were both very religious, but they had a mixed marriage. His mother was a Catholic, and his father was a Presbyterian. That's how you say it, right? Presbyterian.
Mm-hmm.
That would cause arguments. So that would cause arguments in between them. And MacArthur would always side with his mom. His father was very strict and would ridicule him, mock him, which later Bruce thought that it might have been because of his femininity, and his dad kind of just didn't really like the energy he was putting out because his dad was so masculine and homophobic.
Don't we just love toxic masculinity?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of it had to do with his childhood. He didn't have too much of a fucked up childhood, just like like many other serial killers do, but he did have this, he had these sexual needs and he repressed them for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And that really messes up someone, especially when you have your mommy issues and your daddy issues and you're so like a mama's boy and you're so inclined towards your mom. So during this time, homosexuality wasn't accepted at all by the community. He was born in the 50s, 1951, so it wasn't very common, and it was actually even illegal to be homosexual during that time.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary on it, and they're talking about, you know, Canada at this time, or just kind of everywhere at this time. And it doesn't seem like that long ago.
But it was, because we still had segregation. We had segregation from
people. But really, when you're looking at it, it's not that long ago.
It's not.
And I want to say interracial marriage was illegal until like
it was
the
illegal.
70s.
And women couldn't vote US. Until I think it was the 70s as well.
I think you're very mistaken.
Wait, when did the Women's Voting Act come into a thing?
I want to say like the 20s.
Was it? No.
Yes. Hold on, let me look this up.
So, keep going. He met his wife, Janice Campbell, in secondary school, which would be kind of like middle school, I'm assuming. After that, he graduated from a business program and then married Janice when he was 23. MacArthur worked for a department store, and he became a traveling salesman for MacGregor Socks in 1978.
Women won the right to vote in 1920.
Oh. Yeah, I never paid attention in history. I felt like it was a lot of mumbo jumbo.
It's kind of important.
Yeah, but they edited the textbooks to their liking, so a lot of stuff in there isn't true. So I never paid attention.
You still need it to... Well, you graduated. You're in college.
I'm in college. And I'm doing pretty well for myself. I have a 4.0. I got a 99% in my psych class.
I start school in January. Look at me go. Getting an education.
His mother died in 1978 and his father in 1981. MacArthur and his wife moved to Oshawa and had two children, a boy and a girl. After his parents' death, he became active in the church, which sounds to me a lot like the defense mechanism called sublimation. And it's basically when you put your the energy of something that's so acceptable, like impulses or fantasies, into socially acceptable ones. So you're basically repressing all of your feelings and doing the exact opposite of what you actually feel. We see this in a lot of cases with those who have pedophilic or hidden gay tendencies, and especially when they lead to heinous crimes.
So just like BTK.
Yes. They're normally in denial and will try to hide this part of themselves so much that they try to make themselves be the complete opposite of what they are. We've seen this in politics, the church. Someone becomes a church official to hide their guilt and make themselves feel like they're accomplishing their ideal self by covering up their real self. We see this with cult leaders, and we just see this pattern repeat itself so much in life. So he worked throughout Northern Ontario and Toronto with his sock company. He gained contracts with major retailers. Afterwards, he began working for Stanfield as a merch representative, and he gained contracts with major retailers such as Sears. So he would travel a lot. In the early 90s, MacArthur started cheating on his wife with men. After a little over a year, he confessed to his wife his infidelity and his homosexuality. Now that it had become more widely acceptable in the world, he came out of the closet, especially because it wasn't illegal anymore. But she accepted him and they continued to live together. What a woman. I feel like a lot of women would not handle that very well.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone to be so accepting and allow them to continue living with them after finding something out like that is honestly, I respect that a lot.
I'm sure she wasn't
like she
a saint and like, oh my God, you can continue seeing whoever you want.
Yeah.
And was like super accepting of it. I'm sure she was just kind of like, okay, cool. Not happy with that, but we're going to have to learn to live with it.
So around 93, he stopped working for the garment company, and him and his wife began experiencing financial difficulties. Some of it had to do with their son, Todd, who during this time had begun making obscene phone calls to women that he did not know. This kind of brings to me the question of, is there something that runs in their genes? Because we have the pattern, well, you guys haven't heard anything yet, but we have Bruce MacArthur and then his son, who probably hasn't received too much trauma or anything during childhood because it wasn't ever talked about, is now acting out irrationally and harassing women. So I feel like
there's... Or he's just a piece of shit.
Well, I feel like there's something that runs in their genes.
Narcissism.
Probably. They had to mortgage their home in 97 and they separated. MacArthur moved to Toronto, where there was a gay scene, into an apartment on Don Mills Road. He had a four-year relationship there with another man. Around the time that him and this man had broken up, the divorce with Janice was finally being finalized, he began seeing a psychiatrist and was prescribed Prozac, which is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It can be used to treat depression, OCD, and panic disorder. So he began trying to find work as a landscaper after this. MacArthur ended up meeting a male prostitute on a chat line, and he met up and had sex with him. So on October 31st, 2001, he was invited over to this man's apartment because the man wanted him to see his Halloween costume. So he decided that, I don't even know how this happens, he decided to strike the man over the head several times with an iron pipe he often carried. First of all, why do you carry an iron pipe with you?
Second, that's valid. Why are you inviting a John into your house?
Why?
That's a commonly used word for those who solicit, males that solicit.
Well, the prostitute, the sex worker, invited him over to his house. So he knocked him out unconscious, and when the man woke up, he contacted the authorities. He was taken to the hospital, and he had to receive stitches on the back of his head and on his fingers, and he even had to have physical therapy for 6 weeks. So MacArthur's conscience ate away at him, and he eventually turned himself in, stating that he did not recall the incident, and he did not know why he did it. So he pleaded guilty on the assault charges. In 2002, it's stated that MacArthur joined multiple dating and BDSM sites, including Recon, Grindr, Silver Daddies, Man Jam, Growler, Skirt, Squirt, Daddy Hunt, Bear Forest, and Bear 411. That's so many of them. Like, why are you on so many sites?
I didn't know there were so many dating sites.
Yeah. On April 11th, 2003, he was sentenced to 2 years for the attack on the sex worker. His charge for carrying a concealed weapon was dropped. He was categorized as a low-risk offender, and his crime and behavior was rationalized to have been caused by the medication being combined with the muscle relaxer amyl nitrate, which he would take recreationally before sex. So he ended up just doing a year of house arrest, and after his psychiatric analysis, and he avoided doing jail time. He was banned from church in Wesley, the popular gay side of town. He was only allowed to be in the area for work and for medical appointments. He couldn't go anywhere near the victim's home or work, and he could not interact with male prostitutes. He was also banned from purchasing and possessing a firearm for 10 years, and he could not partake in illegal drugs. He submitted his DNA and was forced to have counseling and anger management.
Okay. When they say, like, you're not allowed to solicit sex workers, you're not allowed to partake in illegal drugs, isn't that kind of everyone? You're not allowed to?
Yeah, you're not allowed to. In Canada, yeah, drugs are not legal in Canada at all. They are just barely start having dispensaries as well out there.
Do you know if you have a DUI, you are not able to enter into Canada?
You're not able to enter into Canada for a majority of reasons. Mm-hmm. They're very picky with who they let in. Like when I went, they asked us if we planned on bringing anything back. And we're like, no, nope. And they're like, are you bringing anything into the country? And we're like, no.
Well, I mean, like, that's what they ask you when you come in and out of this country.
Yeah. Yeah. And they said that we couldn't partake in anything while we were in the country. And we're like, okay, cool.
Cool. Yeah. When I went through customs, when I went to Victoria, they were like, do you plan on bringing anything through? And my grandma was like, she's 15. What can she bring through?
Yeah. Yeah. Canada.
And I was like, I want to bring some great chocolate. And I'm going to come back when I was, I wanted to go there for my 19th birthday because I wanted to drink beer in Canada.
Can you drink beer when you're 18 there?
Mm. I went. Well, you can drink when you're 19.
23 year old.
At 19, you're able to drink there.
Okay. I liked their brunch there. But anyways, we're digressing a lot. Okay, so
in Canada for brunch now.
So, in 2007 or 8, he was living on the 19th floor of the Leaside Tower Apartments, which had a lot of immigrants populating it. The apartments were near the gay area, the town church, and Wesley. In 2011, MacArthur joined Facebook and would post pictures of himself traveling, partying, going to concerts, and in some of them, younger South Asian and Middle Eastern men were in them. He was a regular in the gay community at this point. In 2011, he told one of his acquaintances, Robert James, that he had been told to leave a coffee shop one day, and he had become so enraged that he broke a bunch of glasses there. The man, Robert, says that he had heard other disturbing stories about him, so he decided to stay away from him. In 2012, Project Houston began after a man posted on Zambian a meat eating, a claim that he had murdered a man and cannibalized him. Project Houston looked into the disappearance of Skandaraj Navaratnam, aka Skanda. Police searched the area for the man who was part of the gay community, and although they found no leads, they believed he had been murdered. Eventually, the cannibalism tip was dismissed, though.
Oh, boy.
So, by 2013, an investigation titled Suspect Zero had been formed, and they had linked two missing persons cases to the disappearance of Skanda. All three men were immigrants and part of the gay community, and they had disappeared between 2010 and 2012. They were all linked to the gay community church in Wesley. A source later told the Globe and Mail that Bruce had been linked to the two missing people through dating apps. He was considered a long-term friend to Navaratnam and was considered to be a possible witness. So the police interview Bruce, and he tells them that he did not know Navaratnam, but had never engaged that. Oh, he did know Navaratnam, but he had never engaged in anything beyond a friendship with him. He said he had hired Kayan, the other missing person, with his landscaping business, and that he had been broken off his sexual relationship with him. Police had no evidence and no leads at this time. So they were just kind of like, okay, he doesn't really know anything. Let's just move it along, guys.
Oh, no.
So 2 weeks. But yeah.
Also, I was reading that the police didn't want to get involved with a lot of things like that because it had to do with the gay community, and they verify that as like a high risk lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't put in a lot of effort behind cases like that.
Oh, so it's kind of like with sex workers when they disappear, they're like, oh, well, they kind of did it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's so messed up.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks after the interview, Bruce bought a 2004 special edition Dodge Caravan. My question is did he buy this car because he didn't want to keep his old car because it contained DNA evidence?
Maybe he's dealing with what I'm going through, Alma, and needed a new car.
No, that sounds like he was disposing of forensic evidence. So in 2013, MacArthur had become a regular at a local restaurant, and he would always attend, he would always be acquainted by another man. One day, the owner, AJ Khan, noticed that Bruce came in by himself. When AJ asked where the man was, Bruce said he was on vacation. And when AJ stated that he had just seen the man a day prior, Bruce became so enraged that he left, never returning to the restaurant again. So then in 2014, MacArthur had his record expunged. Mm-hmm. Of the conviction that he had received prior, and most of the records had previously been destroyed during that time in 2010 due to a Toronto police retention policy. So the only things that survived from that record were transcripts of his plea and sentencing hearing, his psychiatric and pre-sentencing report, and photos of the victim's injuries and the weapon.
I want to know, why did he buy a caravan? Because I just realized that's a minivan. Was he using it to transport bodies?
He... I don't know.
See? No.
So, Bruce became self-employed. He started his own landscaping business, and he worked under the name Artistic Designs. But a lot of people just said that, one colleague said that he worked with him on a few projects, and that basically he just had his minivan and then a bunch of old rusty tools. So he was kind of trying to talk himself up to being this fantasy schmancy artistic landscaping designer, but he was really more of a gardener. The man also said that Bruce was always with an older man who he appeared to be romantically inclined with. Bruce worked mostly for older, affluent women who found him charming. That is disgusting.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
And during the winter, he would work in the mall as a Santa during the off season for landscaping.
He's Sandy Claus.
It's terrifying. I would not want my child sitting on his lap.
I almost spit my white claw. Oh my God. I just realized if you drop a white claw in the sand, it'd be Sandy Claus.
That was so corny.
Ew.
I hate you. You're tacky and I hate you.
That's hot.
In 2014, his son Todd was sentenced for a year and 2 months due to him continuing to make disturbing phone calls to women he did not know. When Todd was released on bail, he went to go live with his dad, Bruce, and he worked with him in the landscaping business. One night, a friend of Todd's visited their apartment and saw that the bathroom was riddled with photos of naked men with erections. First of all, if you know your kid's going to move in, why would you keep pictures up if you know that your son's going to see those?
Sounded like he, like, wallpapered his bathroom with that.
That's disgusting. Also, Todd hadn't even come to his father's, to terms with his father's homosexuality yet. So that's, like, super fucking awkward, dude.
Yeah.
So over breakfast, one of Todd's friends was asking about those pictures, and they just, like, casually laughed about it and brushed it off. And he said, oh, yeah, I think my dad knows some of those guys. Like, okay, it's whatever.
Yikes.
On June 26, 2017, the day after Pride in Toronto, Andrew Kinsman disappeared. After days of not being seen, his friends broke into his apartment and found that his 17-year-old cat was dehydrated and hungry. The next day, they contacted the police, and he still did not return and had not contacted anyone. He was said to have been openly gay, and him leaving like this was out of his character, especially being that he had left his prescription medication and his cat behind. The community started search parties and Facebook groups to find Kinsman and other gay missing men. In June 2017, Project Prism began warning members of the gay community to be cautious on dating apps and let others know of your whereabouts.
If any of my friends are listening, Alma, you're listening too. If I ever go missing, please break into my house and feed Salem.
I definitely will.
Because he loves you.
I'll take him in.
He's a very loving cat.
I will be his new mother.
Not his new mother. Don't let him forget me. Okay?
I'll make a shrine that we'll cry over.
Yes.
Once a week.
Once a week. Thank you.
And play dramatic music.
I'll do the same for Spell.
Oh, if I die, I put my cousin Myra on my will.
Okay.
Already well, I'll break
into your house, get Spell.
And then drive her to Vegas.
Yes. And then Myra and I will go to the Haunted Museum in your honor.
We'll get possessed.
We'll take Spell in the backpack.
And then you'll all get possessed.
If Spell gets possessed, tell me that wouldn't be the coolest scary movie ever.
That would be terrifying.
I love it.
Yeah, let's not let Spell get possessed. So, in August and September, authorities gained access to information from Google, Yahoo, and other data mining sites. They found evidence that suggested Bruce MacArthur had been involved with five of the men that disappeared, including Kinsman. On October 3rd, 2017, authorities had Bruce's car towed away, and they searched the car for evidence, and they found trace amounts of blood in it. MacArthur had agreed to do yard work at his apartments in exchange for storage space for his landscaping tools. Cadaver dogs sniffed the tools but did not find any human remains on them. A camera was also installed in the garage during this time, and they began tracking MacArthur's phone. They also acquired his key fob log to track when he had entered the apartment building. Tess Ritchie was reported missing November of 2017. 4 days after he was reported missing, his mother found him in an alleyway dead on November 29th, 4 days after his disappearance. This is when the gay community of Church and Wesley began to grow fearful that there was a predator who was targeting gay men. And this is like years into the making that the community is finally like, oh, you know what? There might be a serial killer out there. So on December 4th, 2017, authorities found DNA evidence in Bruce MacArthur's van, which matched missing persons Kinsman and Eason. They obtained a warrant to enter MacArthur's apartment, and they searched it and cloned his computer's hard drive. On December 5th, authorities issued a warning of taking precautions when using dating apps to meet with strangers. Then on December 8th, Project Prism stated on the news that they had done 62 witness interviews, 208 judicial authorizations, and 308 actions, which 225 had been completed. They said they had no evidence to link any of the missing persons, which, if they did have evidence, them seeing this was a very good tactic to keep Bruce in the area and not flee, thinking that they were getting close to him. So it was a very good tactic for them to say that there was no evidence at the time.
Yeah.
So on January 18th, Bruce was seen with a closeted gay man named John.
Air quotations.
I don't believe that was his real name, but that's what he went under because I don't think he wanted his real name out there. So authorities believe that the man was in possible danger. When they forcefully entered Bruce's apartment, they found the man restrained to the bed. He wasn't injured, but Bruce had tried taping his mouth shut and putting a bag over his head right before authorities had entered. The man claimed to have met MacArthur on Growler and that they had had sex several times. What a crazy image of the police breaking in and the man is just tied up.
Yeah, and he's like, yo, I was here for a good time.
And it turned into a bad time.
It turned into not so great time, especially when you're closeted and you don't want to be seen.
Yeah, which is, I think, why he gave out an alias, because you don't want your name out there like that.
No.
Especially when you're found in that situation.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he was like, I'm never dating again. I'm done.
I don't think I would ever date again.
I don't think
so. Have that happen to me.
I'm gonna live alone with my 8 cats. Salem is getting 7 new siblings.
Yeah. Basically. So the officers searched the apartment with a warrant, and they found traces of DNA in his van, which was stated earlier. They seized 5 cell phones, 5 computers, 3 digital flash drives, and approximately a dozen USB flash drives. With the evidence they found in MacArthur's apartment, they charged him with 2 counts of first-degree murder for the presumed deaths of Kinsman and Eason. The Toronto Sun also reported that photos of the victims were found on his computer. Authorities suspected Bruce had scattered the remains of the bodies throughout the city. On February 8th, police found the remains of 3 people in the planners of the Leaside Apartments, which is where he lived. One of the remains belonged to Kinsman, and other planters were seized throughout the city, but cadaver dogs couldn't pick up any scents, being that it was winter, and the planters were mostly frozen. Mm. Which is, they always do this in the winter, and it's frozen, and then once summer comes along, a lot of that evidence is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, on February 23rd, MacArthur was charged with a 6th count of first-degree murder for the murder of Skanda. On March 5th, police asked the public if they had any tips, and they estimated that there could have been an additional 22 victims that could have disappeared during this time. Police received tips from all around the world, including places that Bruce had vacationed in. A source states that he would use aliases online, use public phones, and avoid areas with surveillance cameras. He also targeted men that were closeted and men who did not have stable homes and were immigrants. They traced potential victims back to 75 when he would have been 23 years old. The men were brutally murdered. Some were found naked and restrained in their beds, had been beaten and stabbed. But they never had someone to pin it on during that time.
I'm wondering if him being closeted and forcing himself to go to church made him, mixed with some mental illness, made him almost snap and start this killing spree. And then after he was out, didn't know how to stop it and just had that need and that urge.
I think it did. And he definitely was doing it, I feel like, throughout his life. And it didn't just begin when he was in his 40s or 50s, because that's very abnormal for a serial killer to start killing that later on in his life. Usually they start in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like anywhere that you look, like the background for men who commit these kinds of crimes are usually a Caucasian male in their 30s who is known in the community as a nice and friendly guy. Like, they're your unsuspecting guys.
Keeps to themselves.
Keeps to himself, socially awkward a little bit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some cases, extremely fucking charming, like Teddy.
Oh, Teddy boy.
So they announced that the remains of a 7th body had been found in planters. On April 7th, Bruce was charged with a 7th count of first-degree murder for the murder of Abdul Bazir Fazi. On April 16th, Bruce was charged with an 8th count of first-degree murder for the murder of Karishna Kumar Kanagaratnam. His remains were found in the planters. Kangaratnam was under a deportation order and had never been reported as missing. The last time he had contact with his family was August of 2015, so it was estimated that he would have been murdered anywhere between September 3rd and December 15th of 2015. So they just barely found his body. What year was this? In 2018, so that's 3 years later. So his family hadn't heard from him for 3 years. So it said that Bruce would shave and keep some of his victims' hair as a souvenir. It was also stated that he had 8 folders filled with pictures of his victims. He even made a 9th folder for John, the gentleman who had been found in his bed. So had they not broken in, that he would have been added his little souvenir.
And it sounded like it was going to be that day.
Yeah, it was definitely going to be that day. After 4 months of searching Bruce's home, the search ended in his home on May 11th. On July 4th and 13th, police went through a compost pile and found the remains of Kayan. Bruce was held at a detention center in Toronto, and he was put on suicide watch. On October 5th, 2018, authorities stated that negotiations and discussions are ongoing. On February 8th, 2019, this year, a judge sentenced MacArthur to life in prison with inability of parole for 25 years. MacArthur can apply for parole when he's 91, but parole is said to be highly unlikely if he even makes it to live that long.
I hope he doesn't.
Even then, if he made it to 91, they would never allow him to be out on parole.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes. He's a fucked up guy.
Yeah. It's a killer Christmas. So
you were proud of that one, weren't you? Yeah.
So, yeah, this was a very interesting story. We kind of thought it was going to be more Christmassy themed, being that he was a mall Santa, but there wasn't too many details in regards to
that. At least it wasn't children this time.
At least it wasn't children. But yeah, let us know what you guys think of this story or what you guys want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Give us any tips. We also did just release, I don't know if we said this on the past episode, but we actually have our online shop up and running now. It's on Etsy. It's in all of our bios on Instagram, so you can find it through there. Etsy/morbid possessions or however the hell you do it. We're super fucking stoked about that. And if you do have a shirt, send us some pictures of you wearing the shirt so we can post you on the page.
Yes, please. We want to see them. We got to see Natalie's picture.
Yeah, we did see her picture. I'm waiting on a couple other friends to send me theirs. But yeah, thanks for listening. Merry Christmas, you guys.
Merry Christmas.
We love you. Thank you so much for continuing to listen if you are still listening. And our listeners are expanding every week.
Oh, yeah.
And we're super duper stoked about that.
Yeah, we feel so lucky to
have started this project and, just be able to be so consistent and have something as a creative outlet, mm-hmm. and be able to dedicate ourselves to something that we truly love and enjoy.
Yeah. Do you want to give a little sneak peek on what we're doing for the next episode?
So the next episode is going to be,
let's not say what exactly.
Okay.
But if you look at our murder shirt,
you can find the name on the murder shirt. It is going to be one of those big hitters. So you're not going to want to miss this episode.
Yes. In the comments, guys, on our Instagram, let us know who you think it's going to be.
Yeah, we'll be posting something very shortly. Let us know what you think. Who's it going to be? And if you get it right, you won't get anything, but
maybe we'll give you a shout out.
The joy of knowing that you were right.
We'll give you a shout out, guys.
All right, you guys. Well, thanks for listening. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas. And
stay morbid.
Bye.
Bye.